Today's episode of The Wretched Hive is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/hive, H-I-V-E. You can get over 180,000 titles to choose from for your phone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to The Wretched Hive Podcast.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Moss Eisley Spaceport.
What are you talking about?
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
This is ridiculous.
We must be cautious.
Actually, we're just a bunch of guys talking about Star Wars and other stuff.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
That's good news.
I like the sound of that.
Well, Star Wars Celebration is over. We're 2 weeks now, it's been over, but the Star Wars news keeps coming, and we are here to break it down for you. You have found The Wretched Hive for Friday, August 5th, 2016, episode 16 of the show, and my name is Steve Baldwin, and the rest of The Wretched Hive has joined me tonight.
You mean the full Wretched Hive?
Yeah, the full hive. In fact, I think we have the captain is back this week, it sounds like. Is that you, Nico?
I'm here.
Five card stud. Woo!
Well, some sort of stud anyway.
Nice. We've achieved maximum capacity. The fire marshal will shut us down any further than this.
Nico, were you able to pick up your power converters down at Tashi Station?
You know what? I think I got a few of them. I didn't get all the models and colors that I was looking for, but they were there.
Well, Scott said they were a bitch to transport on a land speeder anyway. So.
They really were. I was thinking about hiring a couple smugglers.
Nice.
I hear they got a new app, Power Converter Go, that you just walk around and spin the little circle on them.
Mommy, I got a Jawa. Awesome. Very good. Well, let me introduce the group to you, our fair listeners. We're so glad you've joined us once again this week. And let me begin by introducing my good friend and yours, Greg Lent.
Thank you once again for joining us here at the Wretched Hive, everybody. Appreciate you tuning in. And everybody, prepare your meat helmets. It's going to be a hot show tonight.
It is going to be. What? How do I prepare the meat helmet? I explain.
Well, first you get a bunch of meat. It depends on the size of your head. You get a bunch of meat, and then you shape it into a helmet shape, and then just lop it right on your dome, and then you're prepared.
All right, perfect. All right. Oh, then I'm ready. I've been ready for days in that case.
I have so much meat.
That's what she said. And another guy that has so much meat, lifelong Star Wars fan, Scott Ivansky.
Hey, Steve. The hive is in its full capacity. I'm so excited tonight.
I am too, and we're recording on a little bit of a different night. It's kind of a weird thing. We're recording on Sunday. It feels kind of strange. I'm going to think it's Thursday when I go to work tomorrow. It's going to be really weird.
Almost sacrilegious. Almost.
Nothing ruins your Thursday like realizing it's only Monday.
That's harsh.
No doubt about it. Certainly not last and not least. We have the captain of the Millennial Falcon, Nico Rodriguez.
That's me. I'm here. Back. Tashi Station trip was fruitful, to say the least.
Back in black.
It's good to have you back, man.
It's good to be back. I missed
been
you
so
guys.
Long. I'm glad to be back because I get loose from the news.
We missed your
kept
meat
you
helmet.
Hanging around.
finally, the final introduction, as tradition holds. Dave, do not under any circumstances call him Harry Potter.
Good evening, Wretched Hive. And it may be an off day for recording, but I've still got my blue moon with me. So it's the same as always, as far as I'm concerned.
Same as it ever was.
Very nice. This is not my beautiful wife.
Dave, have you heard anything about the new Harry Potter book that's out? Just he stars in it.
The play. It's a play script, yes. Basically, yeah. Right?
Yes, it's a play script. The play is actually live in London right now. And shockingly enough, people are respecting the imploring, the request of J.K. Rowling not to post spoilers online. So as people have to actually buy the book and read it. My book did not arrive today for some unfathomable reason. It will arrive tomorrow. And then I will get to see what happens to Harry Potter and Hermione and Ron and everybody immediately after the end of book 7, which is 19 years in the future with Harry and Ginny's kids going off to Hogwarts for the first time.
Very cool.
Excellent. Very
cool. So I'm excited.
They have that other movie that comes out later this year, the Fantastical Beasts movie. And I just realized that that looks like it's a prequel of some type because it very much looks like it takes place in the quote-unquote real world versus the wizarding world. And it looks damn sure like it's set back years and years ago, not like modern age times like the Harry Potter books looked.
Huh. Yeah, my understanding on Fantastic Beasts and where to find them, that's a textbook that Harry Potter and the crew read in the third or fourth novel of the series. And this movie is about how the person that wrote that book came to be familiar with Fantastic Beasts and therefore was qualified to write a book about them. And I believe it takes place in America, so we get to see American wizarding schools in American wizarding terms.
Hmm. Fantastic. Avada Kedavra to all of them, too.
Well, and there's
Wingardium Leviosa.
Wingardium Leviosa.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Well, and as we know, there's no risk whatsoever in developing prequels for anything. It's fine.
No,
they're all great. That's right. Coming from Star Wars fans, we would know. You can, if you'd like to talk more about Harry Potter, you can contact us via Facebook. It's facebook.com/WretchedHivePodcast. You can also leave us a voicemail on the Wretched Hive hotline, which is 562-455-4483. That's 562-455-HIVE. And guys, we did get a fascinating voicemail this past week.
What?
Yeah.
And it was it was not from Greg Lent, correct?
It was not from Greg Lent, pretending to be an old English actor of one sort or another.
Scottish. Hello, Scottish.
Oh, sorry. but it was what? It was one of our super fans. I'm going to call her Faith Eastling. She's Faith has been there from the beginning with us. One of the first non-Hivian to post anything anywhere on our Facebook page, and so she's been a fan from the beginning. And she gave us a call this week. And guys, it's a little bit of a long message, but I really want to give her a little bit of airtime here because she's been such a great supporter of the show. So it's about 3 minutes. I'm going to let it run, and we can talk about it at the end. So here is one of our number one fans, Faith Eastling, called to talk about her fandom and to react to a couple of things she heard on the show.
Good morning, Wretched Hive. This is Faith. I had to write all of this down, so hopefully I can get it out before I run out of time. So, when Disney bought Star Wars, I had hope again that we would get more movies. Then we got confirmation, and I said they can do whatever they want as long as two things happen. Han and Leia get married, and they keep Thrawn. Now, to go back, I lived in a weird bubble where I didn't know that Star Wars existed. I was a Star Trek nerd, Picard forever. I had never heard of Star Wars. I didn't know that it was a thing until I was forced to see it in 1997 when I was 13. 13 years not knowing that Star Wars existed. Well, after that, I put the fan in fanatic. The Thrawn trilogy was the first EU that I ever read. I didn't even read it in the right order. The library had book two, and then I read book one and book three after I borrowed them through the exchange program. I have read a lot of EU since then, and Thrawn has always been my favorite of all of the EU. He will not only defeat you, but he will destroy you. He will watch your millennia extinct culture through the time travel that is light, and then use it as an example to intimidate somebody else. So Disney could do anything, including retconning out my second favorite race, the Nagiri, as long as they kept Thrawn. And then we learned that they didn't. Thrawn would not be in seven. He was no longer a thing. And I mourned. more rants to my friends than I care to admit to. But over time, I grew to be okay with it. The book still existed. They were an alternate timeline. Star Trek did that kind of a thing, and so I could accept it as being two versions of Star Wars. And instead of loss, I came to accept that I got more Star Wars. I can have both the EU and canon. And the canon was great. If Thrawn and all of the bad from the prequels was the price that we had to pay to get Episode 7, then so be it. And then I heard a whisper that Thrawn might return, and I tried to ignore it. Faith, again, I got cut off. So to finish up, I heard a whisper that Thrawn might return, and I tried to ignore it. And then Zahn wrote an article saying to embrace the new canon, and I did, and was thankful for his article. And then there was another whisper and the rumor of the return. And then we got the Rebels trailer, and I watched it, and I cried. I mean, full-on fangirl. He was taken from us and returned. Mithra-ron-nu-ru-udu has returned, even if he would torture me for butchering his full name with my human vocals. And it's not replacing the original, but canonizing the character again. And now we get more, and more is good. Good evening, gentlemen. Bye.
So that was Faith weighing in on Thrawn.
Faith,
and
Jen, I got cut off.
Sorry. And
cutting her off again, Steve.
Yeah. Sorry. What's up, Steve?
I'm. That's just how I roll. So yeah, she had a lot to say, and I thought it would be interesting for us to go through this. Now, she said that she was fine with Disney and all these changes they were planning on making with the franchise, so long as Han and Leia got married, and that they kept Thrawn.
Okay.
As a list of demands go, those aren't bad demands.
Seems to be fairly reasonable. Yeah, seems to be fairly reasonable. And I like the passion she brought to it. I like the nostalgia feeling that it gave her. I like the fact that she's a convert from a Trekkie. I think these are all good things. I think it's a good call. Thanks for the call, Faith.
And I think Thrawn would appreciate that you tried to show respect by saying his full name, even if you weren't, as a human, able to pronounce it correctly. I think you would appreciate that you tried.
I gotta say massive props to her for even knowing the full name.
Yeah, seriously.
Huge.
Yeah, I'm the only one who kind of went against this whole thing, and I really do appreciate Faith's fandom, and I did want to say that as much as I argued the point, there is, and I think I did make this clear, I hope I did. If I didn't, I apologize, but I am excited for Thrawn's return. I just have some issues with the way it was handled and brought about. I like what she pointed out about Han and Leia being married. I also liked the intensity and the passion that she showed, how she really was upset, and then when the announcement came around, she was excited about it. She cried. Mithra-nu-ru-udu, I believe is how you pronounce his name. I might be getting the last part a little bit wrong.
That or you're summoning the dead out of the Necronomicon, one of the two. I'm not sure which.
Yeah.
Nick 2, Klaatu.
Klaatu, Varata.
Varata. I also love her fandom, the fact that she knows what the Nagri are. The Nagri are an amazing race species in that series, if you haven't read it. It does bum me out. I appreciate what she said, but, man, again, another amazing, just creative talent behind Zahn. I mean, that guy came up with some of the most amazing expanded universe characters, and it is kind of sad to see that race theoretically is gone unless Disney decides to pull them back. Believe that character, or the character that was predominant in that series, was an assassin. Steve, you read it, correct?
Yeah, was the Nagiri, did they deflect the Force? Is that they were resistant to the Force.
That was the Ysulan... Crap, I'm going to butcher the name. Ysulmari?
Okay.
That's pretty... I think that's pretty dead on right there, Dave.
Well, how do we know that they're getting rid of the of Nagiri? I mean...
We don't. Okay. We don't. Here's... You know what? We need to take a step back. I'm sorry. Can we add to the show right now?
Well...
Yeah, we can fix this in post. No problem.
No, I want to add something. Take
Bob,
me out.
We'll bring Lucas in. We'll get him right on it.
I delete most of your stuff anyway, Scott. It's fine.
I'm going after you, man. I see you in that little box.
Where's the glass bottle?
I have it right here, Nico. It's ready to go. I want to point something out that I don't think we really touched on last time talking about Thrawn is in the background shot of that famous shot now from... Yeah. Unseen to our listeners, Greg is hulking out on an aluminum can. All right, man. Thanks. Don't worry. I got my glass right here. Let's go. And if you ate that aluminum, I'd be impressed.
Yes.
In the background, if you notice, there is a creature that is a striking resemblance to the Ysulmari. Is that how you pronounce it? Ysulmari?
I think Ysulmari.
Ysulmari. Mm. Look again and watch that again, and it's just really interesting that they threw that little image, like it looks like a piece of art behind him. And I'm
you're talking about the little lizard creatures that are over his shoulders on the art hanging behind his wall.
That is correct, and it actually looks like it's sitting around his shoulders, which is really cool.
Yeah, Dave Filoni during the Rebels panel specifically called that out because that's what people had mentioned. Will these things? And he called them force bubbles. I don't even know what they're called. I didn't read it, but he said he did not feel that those creatures were believable in this universe, and so he wasn't going to write them in. But yes, they are. You do see them in that piece of art over a trailer, just to give props that they existed in the previous universe. So,
again, those are cool moments. Yeah.
So the force bubble reference is that the Ysulmari have this unique ability to create a bubble where the force doesn't exist. Mm. Yeah. And it's believed that that came about because the planet that they live on, there is a predatory creature called a Vornskr, I think I'm pronouncing that right,
that
actually hunts using the force. So the Ysulmari developed this anti-force bubble around them as a survival mechanism so that they wouldn't get eaten all the time. And Thrawn discovers this and says, wow, that's handy if you're trying to control Jedi. And just starts popping them onto nutrient frames, and you've got stormtroopers walking around with Ysulmari draped over their shoulders, basically, to prevent any problems with Jedi or rogue dark Jedi.
Yes,
I'm gonna have to go back and read that again. Man, that's some good stuff.
Yeah, there's some great moments with him and those creatures. If you do know the plot of that story, he has a clone version of a Jedi that he's working with through that trilogy. And there is a moment where the two of them kind of have, a little bit of a disagreement, and that little creature comes in real handy at that moment. God, that's a great story.
It absolutely is. And just to kind of blow this conversation up a little bit, I can't remember if I've talked about this idea I had before or not, but Scott, we've talked about bringing other of the characters back in that Zahn created. And a thought that occurred to me conspiracy theory connecting the dots. Well, if we're bringing Thrawn back, why aren't we bringing back any of the other real solid popular ones like, say, Mara Jade? Mm-hmm. So what if they are going to bring Mara Jade back now that Thrawn is back? What if Mara Jade is Rey's mother? That all happened off camera between episode 6 and 7. And what if Star Wars anthology film number 3, which nothing's been talked about since they said they were doing 3 films, is actually a Mara Jade origin story? Or how did all of that come to be in the time between episode 6 and 7?
Dude, if that is the case, and that is a great theory, I will geek out on camera. I swear to God, I will freak out on you guys right here. Because what a great backstory that would be, and what an ultimate surprise. You know, the Thrawn thing has grown on me. We've talked about it, we reasoned about it, I argued against it, I argued that I liked it. But man, you bring in Mara Jade on that, there is so much potential right there.
What a treat that would be for fans.
And I mean, what a connection between the original trilogy. You have all the main characters, but throw in this expanded universe character, which was thrown out. That's, seriously. Oh, my God.
Well, you know, and it, just in terms of pure speculation, and this is based completely on nothing, because I don't think that they've, and I'm looking it up right now, they haven't, at least on IMDb, they haven't put any cast names. Laura Dern's in the cast. Mm-hmm. Laura Dern is that right age range where she could be, you know, the mother figure.
Yeah.
So
yep, that is a rumor I've heard for episode 8 in her casting.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that I think that's solid. I think it's a solid rumor that's out there.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's all right. My rumor is based on absolutely nothing as well. So it's all fair game.
Benicio del Toro. Maybe Benicio del Toro is going to be Mara Jade. He's a pretty versatile actor.
He is. I saw Men in Black. Wasn't he in Men in Black? No, that's somebody else.
You know what? It was Benicio del Toro playing as somebody else playing a character. So, yes.
He was the dude playing the dude disguised as another dude.
That's right.
Wasn't that Vincent D'Onofrio?
That's the one I'm thinking of.
Ooh, no IMDb.
Who was the Kingpin in Daredevil, which is in the Marvel Universe, where Benicio del Toro played the director, Kevin Bacon.
Wasn't it the collector, not the director?
Whatever.
Oh, my God. This shit is getting crazy.
Well,
now that I blew that all up, I'll loop it back to Thrawn to share and appreciate Faith's geekdom for Thrawn. I too have loved that character, just because I think it's very easy as a writer to have a villain or a hero who's kind of omniscient or all knowing and able to predict what's going to happen before it happens. It's very easy to do that as a writer because you're the writer. You, of course, know what's going to happen next. It's easy for you to impart your wisdom into one of your characters. I think it's very, very challenging to do that in a way that is self-contained within the character and makes him seem just incredibly badass within the confines of the book. And that's what happened with Thrawn, because there were several moments in there where he's getting everything right and you're just in awe, and other moments where he just gets right up there where he's almost got it right and just doesn't quite make the connection. Yeah. And if he had it was just a knife's edge, everything would have gone completely differently. And it was so wonderful to read and experience. I have pretty much the same reaction every time I go back and reread those trilogy books.
Well, they don't cop out with that villain. That's what I loved about that. Zahn writes incredible characters and incredible dialogue and smart, smart villains. And we already mentioned the Daredevil thing. We went off board with that, and I love that because Vincent D'Onofrio plays an amazing character villain in that show, in the Daredevil series, which I totally associate with the Zahn character in the Zahn trilogy, the Heir to the Empire books. Such an incredibly smart, calculated, calm and methodical villain, and those types of villains are so far and few between nowadays. It's almost like a cop out for writers to write. I call it lazy writing, where they're just all powerful and they just know how to kick butt and that's it. I liked what you said, Dave, but I loved how incredibly smart the character was written and how he was able to perceive that in his enemy. Great writing. They should just hire him. Put him on the writing staff there over there at Disney.
Well, they have. He's writing the another book called Thrawn, and we talked about
the movies.
That last week.
Put him on the movies, man.
Oh, okay, yeah. Put him on the screenplays. Yeah. Well, I think we're going to get a lot more of Thrawn, and I think it might be worth it for us to revisit those books one of these days, guys. Maybe we can set a goal for ourselves to. I know it's hard to go back and pick up a book and actually read it, but. It would, at least it is for me sometimes, but I think it would be great to, for us all to go back, revisit those books, and maybe cover that character a little bit more, especially now that he's going to be so prominently featured as the villain in episode or in season 3 of Rebels.
If only anybody knew of a service where one could download a book where they didn't have time to read the actual hard copy.
Great. Where could we find something like that? Can you tell us?
I don't know, maybe audibletrial.com/hive, everybody.
And I have to say, I have all of those books from audible.com, and they are like an old school radio play. They have different actors doing the different characters. They have sound effects. They have the John Williams score. It is a full on production. It is worth every penny that you may have to pay to get one or two of the books beyond your free trial.
I am going to do that. I'm serious. I'm going to do that. I'm going to listen to them all. Probably not by next week, but I'm going to get them all downloaded because I want to. I'm excited about the story and I want to revisit it. Even though I know it's not going to be what the story is now, I want to hear more about this character. I want to find out more about this character. So I'm going to do it. But when you tell me old time radio drama, all I'm thinking is like something like The Shadow from the 40s. This is going to be. You see here, yeah, this guy is going to come over and smoochy booches. See here, yeah. Is it going to be one of those?
It's not. It's not as over the top as that. And I actually had some old Shadow radio stuff on cassette tapes when I was a kid that I got to listen to, and I always loved how badass The Shadow was. It was like a radio Batman. I mean, it was. You know, you had people like, the shadow's in the room, and you would hear gunshots go off, and then you would just hear the shadow's voice go, you missed, and everybody would start freaking out. It's a different way of having to write and present the information of what happens.
Oh, absolutely. I was actually excited. I'm probably one of the few people that really enjoyed the remake film in the 90s with Alec Baldwin.
I think you are as well, Scott.
you might be the only one who liked that movie.
Damn it. I actually own the soundtrack to that.
That's okay. I have one song off the soundtrack. I have a single. I'm not going to tell you which one.
Quick shadow. Quick bit for our Shadow podcast that we're going to do after this show. So everybody can listen to the full Shadow podcast. But here's a teaser from our Shadow podcast.
Shadowcast,
exactly.
Rick, I want to give you props, man. You just get Kevin Smith the shit out of our podcast with that promo. I just stumbling over my words tonight.
So apparently there's a big deal to do with a knife in The Shadow, right? In the movie The Shadow, you guys, I'm like Scott and Dave, you guys have seen the movie, right?
Yes.
There's it's been a long time.
Apparently that knife is the same knife that was used in The Golden Child with Eddie Murphy.
You know, I think you're right, man. I want the knife.
Exactly. And I think the bad guys, I think it's Charles Dance is the bad guy in both movies, too.
Oh, my God, you're right.
So The Golden Child is a spiritual sequel to The Shadow with Alec Baldwin.
That's awesome. Seriously, though, if you ever get around to it, rewatch that film. If you haven't seen it, watch it for the first time. It has some of the worst effects ever on film of a guy falling off the Empire State Building. Somebody hand drew this guy falling off. I swear it's the worst cartoon drawn in sketch. Oh, so beautiful.
Well, somebody's going to have to do an old time 40s style radio play of The Golden Child now.
Shay, it's all about this movie, Shay, and they're looking for a knife.
Me, Scott, and Dave. And we, you know, we're going to do a Wretched Hive, all five of us, we're going to do a Wretched Hive reading, 40s style. Of The Golden Child.
quick Google search does show that the two knives are Identical.
Oh my god.
Oh yes,
man.
The little face on the hilt and everything. They're like the exact same three-bladed edged knife in both movies.
Wow. Oh my god, that's amazing.
Yes, but is Alec Baldwin's nose the same nose that Ed had? That's all I know. How the hell did his nose look like that when he just puts a stupid red scarf over it?
Look, everybody knows all you got to do is put a scarf on and you're indistinguishable from your real self.
That or glasses. Or plain glasses. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
That or plain glasses. Exactly. Either one. A scarf and glasses? Get the frig out of town. That's all I'm saying.
Damn, this is a good show tonight. We're all over the board, gentlemen.
Well, let's wrap this up with a big thanks for Faith Geesling. Thank you so much for the call, and we look forward to hearing from you again on another episode of the Wretched Eye Podcast. Let's talk about
anytime.
Anytime, you're welcome, Faith.
Thanks, Faith. That was awesome.
From ABC News World Headquarters, this is ABC World News Tonight.
No, it's not. It's Star Wars news with the Wretched Hive.
So be it.
Well, as I said at the top of the show, Star Wars Celebration is past, but Star Wars news keeps flowing. And the first story we've got in the queue here, guys, is an update on the Harrison Ford accident that took place during Episode 7.
Guilty!
Yep, we had the British court system laying down the verdict for this company that was in charge of safety. The company responsible, Foodles Production, an odd name for a company to begin with, but Foodles Production pleaded guilty to two breaches under health and safety legislation. Rumor has it that in the courtroom, they actually played a video of Harrison Ford the day that this accident happened. We have exclusive footage here, the Wretched High Podcast. It's the only place you'll hear this. There you go.
For a minute, I thought you were serious.
I know.
I'm serious. It's Harrison. It's okay. Calm down. Stop crying, Harrison.
They're trying to kill him. What the hell?
I'm sure it hurt really bad, man.
I know. I know, poor guy. Well, and this article actually says that Harrison Ford could have died in the Star Wars incident. That was some of the testimony that was given during these proceedings, apparently. So thank goodness Harrison Ford is okay and fully recovered and doing well.
There's a couple items that I'm going to point out in this article. And it's from The Guardian, theguardian.com, and it came out sometime last week, I believe is what it was. And we knew it was a serious. Obviously, he broke his leg, and he was off the film set for a number of weeks. You know, and I think they actually shut production down during the weeks he was gone. So we knew it was serious. But, I mean, reading this article, I'll just read one little clip. It says, a health and safety executive described the weight of the Millennium Falcon door as comparable to that of a small car.
Yeah.
That he had land on his leg.
God.
And here's Harrison Ford, some quotes from Harrison Ford himself.
These are great.
Talking about it, you know, talking about the differences between production in 77 and production in 2015. Now we had lots of money and technology, so they built a fucking great hydraulic door which closed at light speed, and somebody said, ooh, I wonder what this is. And the door came down, hit me on my left hip because I was turned to my right, and then it flung my left leg up and it dislocated my ankle as it drove me down to the floor. My leg slapped on the ramp up the Millennium Falcon and broke both bones in my left leg. Holy crap, that sounds serious.
Well, it went on, too. I mean, I think the company, if I need to look at that article, but I was listening to a couple radio shows talk about it. They mentioned that they were found, what was it, negligible against possible death? Is that what it was?
Probably, it's probably negligent of
I'm sorry, did I say, I'm jumping all over the place. But yeah, that's intense. And J.J. Abrams, while running to help Harrison Ford and a few other people, stagehands or whatever, trying to get the door off of him, ended up breaking his back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, must have been.
Mm-hmm. between this and the plane accident, either we are just extremely lucky to have Harrison Ford or he is a cyborg.
You know what? I want to tell you how much Harrison Ford is a badass. When asked about his plane crash, after breaking his leg and returning to the set, he crashed this plane here in L.A. on a golf course. An article did an interview with Harrison Ford saying, "You crashed this plane. Are you, you know, surprised you're alive and this and that?" And he said, "I didn't crash. The fucking plane crashed." Seriously. This guy is so badass. Oh,
that's a man's man there. No doubt about it.
I want to fly everywhere with this guy.
Well, and when the plane did crash, I mean, the first people to arrive on the scene to help him were some golfers at the next hole who surprisingly were doctors. So if you're going to have an accident, a golf course is clearly the place to do it.
Seriously.
No doubt about it. Well, we're glad that Harrison's okay, and we're glad that he's probably going to I would think there'll be some settlement of some kind, I would think.
And right? then the T-1000 Harrison Ford will be starring in the next I don't know, Jack Ryan movie, I suppose.
Well, guys, we have a few other stories here. One that I was excited to read on entertainmentweekly.com was this story about Darth Vader, who is being featured in a Star Wars virtual reality story. It's going to be part of canon, and again, written by Anthony Bresnahan, who we've featured quite a bit of his stuff on the show. He's gotten quite a bit of Star Wars scoops over the last few years, and certainly with The Force Awakens. And he writes that Darth Vader, the Sith Lord, will be the focus of a virtual reality story from Lucasfilm that will reveal new facets of his past, the company announced at Star Wars Celebration in London. It's one of the initiatives from Lucasfilm's new ILM X-Lab division, a hybrid of visual effects house, Industrial Light and Magic, Skywalker Sound, and the Star Wars Story Group. So this sounds really cool, and I love that they're doing more with Darth Vader.
Nice.
Crickets. Cue crickets.
No, I was just thinking about how much money I'm going to have to spend on a game system to take advantage of this stuff. Because we've already... The virtual reality X-Wing game is, I think, coming out later this year.
Mm. Well, for that one, you have to buy a PlayStation 4.
Yeah, so that's going to happen, apparently.
Mm-hmm. And you have
and
to have
not a, only PlayStation 4, and you have to buy a headset.
The VR headset, right?
Yeah. So it's well, the PS4s are down to roughly 300-ish right now, right? And I think the headset's going to be at a retail price of about 400.
Yeah, I heard somewhere up around $800 for the whole.
Yeah.
Setup. So.
Yeah. Well, then you add in the cost of the game too, because I'm sure the game won't be free. So.
Yeah, but the graphics on that thing just looked so cool.
It's going to be incredible.
Incredible.
I want to fly an X-Wing right now.
they're doing very impressive stuff with virtual reality, though. One of my coworkers, one of her friends, works at one of the computer shops that's playing around with VR. And she gets to go over and be a guinea pig for him sometime. And she showed me video of, you know, people being test subjects for, you know, interacting with a whale underwater. And it's hilarious to watch these people that are just wearing goggles and, you know, something on their hands, just running around a room and physically reacting to things that are not there and trying to get away from something that's clearly not there because it's just a big empty room.
Dave, you should come over, man. We got this huge park near my house. We watch all the Pokemon Go players. It's just like that.
Except they're staring down at their iPhones.
And they hit trees a lot. It's fun.
I like to play Pokemon Go on the bus because it goes slow enough to get me my kilometers walked.
You can hatch your eggs, huh?
Yeah, I just sit on the bus and it's just like walking because it's slow as fuck. And nice. I get all my stuff. Get to hit all the Pokestops on the side of the road. Get to catch stuff. The best is when I lift up my phone to catch the Pokemon and the person sitting across from me is like, "What the fart are you doing?"
I don't even play it to catch anything. I just like to like open it up while I'm driving and set it on the dash in front of me so I can see the guy running really fast. Hilarious.
Does he run really fast when you put him
yeah.
when you drive?
He does. Yeah. Oh, God. He ice skates across the land.
It's great.
Awesome. Very cool.
Let's get a Star Wars version of this out there.
Ewok, oh. Go.
What would you be trying to catch? Midichlorian?
Ewoks.
It's Malari, of course. Duh.
Well, missing Jedi library codexes.
Luke's hand.
Hey, I see this story about the proposed beginning for episode 7 that involved Luke's hand.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Is that the one that was it was grasping the lightsaber and floating through space?
Yeah, and falls out of orbit, you know, through the atmosphere of Jakku until it, you know, disintegrates, and the lightsaber is all that lands on Jakku at that point, and a mysterious figure walks in and claims the lightsaber. But they thought that was too dark to open with.
That was the version of the story that Steve told me probably a year and a half before the movie came out. Mm-hmm. I remember, Steve, you had heard a story similar to that, and you shared that with me. So yeah. I don't know where you heard it from, but
that was one of the early rumors, very early rumors. And, you know, it seems kind of nonsensical. But then when you think about it, maybe they were just, you know, trying to, like, have a literal interpretation of you know, where that lightsaber came from, how it got down to Jakku, how it got in the hands of whoever. Just funny to think about that now, though. Show this sort of like 2001-esque, you know, hand with this lightsaber floating through space. It's kind of bizarre, but it's an interesting idea.
You know, but I think what that proves, though, is that that is a rumor that was actually true, or at least based in some kind of truth, because the lightsaber plays a very important part of the movie.
Yeah. It does. And go ahead. Who's?
Oh, I was going to say it. Assuming that it is true, my thought process is, you know, who gets the hand after it gets sliced off and falls into the depths at Bespin? Well, Cloud City was left under Imperial control, so Vader and the Emperor probably had, you know, stormtroopers scouring the interior of that place until they found the hand with the lightsaber and took it into Imperial custody. And then if Jakku was the site of one of the big, you know, climactic battles with the Imperial fleet afterwards, the hand as an artifact must have been on one of those ships to have wound up as debris floating around Jakku.
Well, there's a lot to go on right there, Dave, and I'm going to jump in here and try and be as fast as I can. One, please. It was true. You don't have to assume. That actually was part of the original draft of the script of the, I can't remember his name, but the gentleman who was let go from the project, that was the original idea that was written down. Mark Hamill.
Was that Scott Ivanski? Was that the original author?
No, Arndt,
right? I was on that job.
Michael Arndt.
I didn't tell you guys. I'm sorry, who was it?
Michael Arndt, isn't it?
Michael Arndt.
Yes, yeah. Yes, good pull.
So that was absolutely true, and it's been talked about on the circuit with Mark Hamill. I believe J.J. Abrams has also mentioned a few times. But let's throw that out there. Since we talked earlier about the whole Thrawn thing, the whole basis of that trilogy is cloning Jedi, and that lightsaber, I believe, is a part of it at some point. They find Luke's...
Oh, you yeah, mean that's... like maybe someone could have been cloned from Luke's hand and then left as a failed project somewhere on some deserted desert planet?
I think
to start some sort of adventure.
The idea.
Hashtag. I think I'm a clone now.
I believe the cloning process for the Jedi eventually becomes a Jedi that we hadn't heard about. Joris Kabaoth. Is that correct?
Cyboth or something like that.
Yeah.
Master Cyboth.
I think you are mispronouncing it as Rey.
It is Rey. Oh my God. But it is fascinating. His saber is a part of that story. So
it is. You're remembering correctly. The clone. There are Jedi clones in that Zahn trilogy, but the Jedi. But the cloning process to work speedily in those books, if I remember right, it's based on having Ysil Amari around to basically isolate the clones from the Force, yeah, so that they're able to speed grow them. without the Force saying, wait, that shouldn't happen, and messing the whole thing up.
Mm-hmm. So if Rey is a clone, you know, there's the flashback scene where she remembers being dropped off and, you know, screaming for her parents or whomever. So that actually didn't happen like 15 years ago. That happened like last week. Right? Because she grows really fast.
It depends. That's a great point, actually, Steve. As we know from the cloning process in the prequels, the clones are grown at an
accelerated rate.
An accelerated rate. However, Boba Fett was not. He was actually grown and raised as a normal child. Mm-hmm. He was not accelerated like the others.
Hmm. Scott, you're in my head. I was going to bring up that point exactly.
See? We are one with the Force, my friend. Still have my glass ready, though.
I probably deserve it.
All I'm saying is it's starting to sound like you guys are saying that I was right about my Rey clone theory this entire podcast longevity.
No, I think you're full of shit. I think she's a Kenobi.
listen up, Team Cloner. All will be revealed in the coming months.
That's right.
Wait, do you know something, Greg?
Hashtag Team Skywalker, dude.
I'm on that hashtag. I don't know.
Why have we never considered Lando as a potential father? We've considered like every other male Star Wars character, but we've never talked about Lando.
Because think about it. Lando's got the biggest supply of Colt 45 out of any of them. He is definitely the most qualified.
I was going to say, I don't want to profile or anything, but he does fall into the Han Solo Lando swap guys of the universe.
We considered Sheev's Palpatine before we considered Lando. What does that say about us? I don't know.
I'm just saying.
Damn.
I love that his first name is Sheeves.
Or is it Sheev or Sheeves?
I think it's plural. I think it's the plural of Sheev.
I may be going a little Iron Man there with Is it Sheeves? Oh, Sheeves.
It's all Disney. It's okay.
That's true. All right, well, talking about other Disney movies, we've got a little bit of news here. Well, it's not really news. It's more of a rumor, but rumor is being reported by NewYorkDailyNews.com, by the way, NYDailyNews.com, that when Alden Ehrenreich was signed to be the new Han Solo, he didn't just sign a one-film deal, guys. He signed a trilogy.
Sweet!
This is the rumor. Well, and sorry, Dave, I've got a quick clip. Let me just play this clip. Again, NewYorkDailyNews.com reporting on the Alden Ehrenreich trilogy.
Good things are apparently coming in threes for actor Alden Ehrenreich, who's been tapped to play Han Solo in the upcoming Star Wars spinoff, depicting the intergalactic scavenger's early years. Disney has quietly signed the 26-year-old Hail Caesar star to a three-picture deal, insiders tell Confidential, paving the way for more Han Solo flicks if the one currently being written strikes gold at the box office. The movie giant has publicly revealed plans for only one prequel, featuring the wily Millennium Falcon captain, helmed by Lego Movie directors Phil Lord and Christopher Miller. They feel that his character has the right potential to become a central figure in several movies, our source said. The LA-raised Ehrenreich, who was discovered by Steven Spielberg at a bat mitzvah, beat out thousands of hopefuls to play the space cowboy made famous by Harrison Ford.
All right, so trilogy. Alden Ehrenreich, Han Solo trilogy.
If they can convince Kasdan to come back and do all three of them, I am down with that. But I think his plan was to retire after this first film. I do have faith in the Lego Movie guys. I think they're a good choice. They also did the 21 Jump Street movies too, didn't they? Did they do those as well?
Yep.
Yeah.
Those are damn good films.
Yeah, yeah. I enjoyed those. Yeah, I wouldn't say they're great movies, but I think the Lego one really showed that they can take something and make it meaningful. I mean, because that movie works on so many different levels.
It really does. Yes.
So yeah, they've got the talent for it, sure. Yeah, but I think they should work on Kasdan as well.
I think, Greg, those guys, if they're the ones that are going to be doing them, they can pick up Kasdan's where Kasdan leaves off, and I think they really do understand characters, and I think they can accomplish greatness with those films, and certainly expand Han Solo's story much, much broader than we've been known to know him as. If that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was going to say, signing him for additional movies at this point, that's just learning from the mistakes of the past. It wasn't Harrison Ford the only one of the big three to not be signed up for sequel work after Star Wars?
Yeah, I think you're correct on that. I don't know if it was all three. He might have been signed up for the second one, and he held out on the third one.
Because I seem to recall that Lucas had Alan Dean Forrester originally write Splinter in the Mind's Eye as a potential sequel, and Alan was told to keep Han Solo out of the novel because Harrison Ford wasn't signed for anything beyond the initial film.
Now, you know what? You might be correct on that.
And I think also that's why Han Solo's fate is not determined at the end of Empire. They didn't know if he was going to sign on for Jedi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quick sidebar on Splinter of the Mind's Eye. What a weird ass story that really is.
Splinter of the Mind's Eye, is that the one with the Kyber crystal?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's still, you know, so it's, it was, the book was released between Star Wars and Empire, and so it's still, Luke really has the hots for Leia. Leia's kind of coming around on Luke, you know. Just really, it's a strange ass story once you realize where the story goes.
doesn't Vader get an arm cut off in that one? In Splinter?
Ooh.
Oh, you know what? You might be right. I don't remember that specifically, but you might be right. Yeah.
It's been so long since I looked at that.
But there's a full on Luke Vader saber battle in that one too. Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy. All right, sidebar over.
Continue. Yeah, sorry, I totally hijacked that. Sorry about that, Steve.
Well, then let's bring it back to the Han Solo thing, because around that same time, there were also Han Solo, three Han Solo books that were written, I believe.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, it was the Carillion trilogy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Shoot,
I read the first one.
Which one was that now? I forget. It's been way too long since I read those.
Okay, let's look it up. To the Google Mobile, everybody, the Carillion trilogy, according to Wikipedia, was the ambush at Carillia, assault on Salonia, and showdown at Center Point.
That's right.
I don't think those are the same ones, though. Those are later on.
I think you're right.
There's more than that. All right. We're gonna have to sidebar that discussion too. All right, continuing on. Three movies for Alden Ehrenreich. Yeah, I'm down. Nico, what do you think?
Have they confirmed, or is it still rumor about the Boba Fett movie?
Because
you know, he signed for three movies doesn't necessarily mean a trilogy. Could be a Han Solo cameo or minor role in any sort of Boba Fett movie that comes up in the future also.
Hmm. That is a good point. Yeah, that's a very good point.
So he may not star in a film, but he may have.
But they have him signed for. Yeah, they have him signed for. If they have him signed for three movies, that means they can make any three anthology films and have Han Solo show up in them.
Well, we don't have the Boba Fett standalone confirmed yet. Is that correct?
Okay, that's a rumor.
But they've already signed one of the actors for it. So hey,
have they?
Yeah.
Han Solo.
Aaron Alderaan is Han Solo.
There you go. All right. Breaking news here.
No, right, yeah, so that's my theory is that, okay, you know, they got him locked down for three movies like this rumor is saying, not necessarily doesn't mean that it's going to be all three Han Solo centric movies.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm down with that. Yeah, I could see that happening.
Yeah.
And just to jump back to that, it's the Han Solo Adventures by Brian Daley. They were published in April, June, and August of 1979. So they were published the year after Splinter in the Mind's Eye. Hmm. And they were Han Solo at Star's End, Han Solo's Revenge, and Han Solo and the Lost Legacy.
And Han Solo Strikes Back.
Han Solo and the Temple of Doom. Han Solo and the Last Crusade.
Those titles are just uninspiring. I'm sorry.
Han Solo and the Runner of Blades.
And a sidebar.
Han Solo as President of the United States on an airplane that gets captured by Russian terrorists.
The Greg, just for your background knowledge here, it was the duel on Mimban in the Splinter of the Mind's Eye where Vader's entire right arm gets cut off. And limbs, it's just not good. It's not good.
Hey, at least at that point, they're not real limbs and they can just be, you know, soldered back on.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, the dude is a walking Lego at that point, so.
I know, but come on, the Galactic Empire does have a budget. I mean, you can't just be going around getting cybernetic limbs chopped off.
No.
They're building
not the
Death
Black
Stars.
Knight, Monty Python. I mean,
they're building back to back, man. They don't have a budget.
Stars, dude. Plural. Stars. Is what you're building.
But I'm sorry.
You read Bloodline. You know what Vader does to, you know, poor unsuspecting planets for, you know, basic slave labor. They're not paying anybody for all that.
I just feel actually kind of bad at this point because he at this point has had all four limbs chopped off. But
multiple times.
No, but by the time Splinter of the Mind's Eye comes out, it's the way they describe it. He gets the limb chopped off at his shoulder. So I'm like, what was left of the stump from his elbow to his shoulder is now gone. Also, this poor guy, man. No wonder he's pissed and breathing heavy.
When your cybernetic limb gets cut off, do you feel it?
When a wampa shits in the woods.
He just gets his arm cut off. He's like, God damn it.
And Nico, that's a trick question. Why would a wampa be in the woods, man? It's a nice planet.
There's no trees on an ice planet?
I didn't see any on Hoth, man.
Doesn't mean they're not there. Can you see the Force?
If you can't see the Force for the snow?
I can't see the Force.
If you can't see trees on Hoth, does it mean they're not there?
Ooh.
My
mind is blown.
Guys, I'm going to turn us towards our away from this nonsense. And let's talk about our wonderful sponsor for this episode, Audible.com. Audible.com's great service. And for you, the listeners of the Wretched Hive podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a 30-day free trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. And they have just about any type of book, any genre you're looking for, in audio format. And of course, this being a Star Wars podcast, there's a lot of great Star Wars books, including the one that I selected for, demonstrate the, audio samplings from audible.com. Star Wars: Heir to the Empire by Timothy Zahn, as narrated by Mark Thompson. So here's a sample of Heir to the Empire.
How topical, Steve.
It would have been inconceivable for a man as young as Tichel to serve as a bridge officer aboard a ship like the Chimera. Now. He looked down at the equally young man at the engineering monitor. Now, in contrast, the Chimera had virtually no one aboard except young men and women. Slowly, Pelion let his eyes sweep across the bridge, feeling the echoes of old anger and hatred twist through his stomach. There had been many commanders in the fleet, he knew, who had seen the Emperor's original Death Star as a blatant attempt to bring the Empire's vast military power more tightly under his direct control, just as he'd already done with the Empire's political power. The fact that he'd ignored the battle station's proven vulnerability and gone ahead with a second Death Star had merely reinforced that suspicion.
So what I love about that is you have the ambient noise of the ship that they're sitting on. You know, it's not just somebody reading. There's that sort of immersive feel you get from these books at audible.com. They're just so well put together. And sound effects and, of course, really high-quality audio for your iPhone and just about any mobile player you have. Audible.com will play, and it's just a great service. So to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/hive. That's HIVE. Again, that's audibletrial.com/hive for your free audiobook.
Now.
Do it now.
That's fantastic.
You won't regret it.
You will not regret it.
I didn't.
For over 1,000 generations, the Jedi Knights were the guardians of peace and justice in the Old Republic.
It's grounded, like a lot of subject views of what it's like to be really in a war in the Star Wars universe.
Attacking that battle station ain't my idea of courage. It's more like suicide.
Resistance fighters unite for a daring mission to steal the Death Star plans and bring new hope to the galaxy.
Rogue One Reconnaissance.
Rogue One Reconnaissance. Request one round elimination ASAP. Roger, stand one round elimination. Stand by.
So, guys, we do have some new Rogue One news this week. There was a story on Twitter, a little video with Kathleen Kennedy produced by Extra TV, I think that came out of Celebration. And I thought I'd pull this up for us because we were talking a little bit about the possibility of Hayden Christensen appearing in Rogue One. And Kathleen Kennedy took to Twitter here to dispel that rumor, as well as another rumor that that she squishes here like a bug. Check this out.
Now, I also heard that Hayden Christensen could possibly make an appearance. Can you shed any light on that?
No, that is not true.
That's not true.
No.
You can confirm.
I can confirm
he's not
that.
Gonna be in it.
He is not.
Okay. And the other rumor is that Han Solo, a young Han Solo from the upcoming movie, might also.
No, I can also confirm that.
Okay.
So there you go. That's from Kathleen Kennedy. No young Han Solo. And no Hayden Christensen, because I know that all of our listeners were really concerned about that one, in Rogue One.
Big old hell no's coming out on those two. Sounded
yeah.
like.
Yep. Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm happy that she's coming out and just giving flat out denials. No reason to be coy about it. No reason to make it like, oh, well, I don't know. You'll have to wait and see kind of reaction. Just like, no, that's it's not happening. So good on her for that. As far as the Hayden Christensen, I guess you could have said that, well, the Hayden Christensen one, maybe that fits, maybe that works, maybe it doesn't. There's argument for it. The Han Solo one, a young Han Solo one, there's no way. The timeline isn't there. Unless it's a flashback sequence to something else that would seem totally out of place. It's just the timeline doesn't work for a young Han Solo. It would have to be a young Harrison Ford.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm 100% with you. I've always been there. If Rogue One ends 10 minutes before episode 4 begins, I mean, that is Harrison Ford. That is a 1976 Harrison Ford. It's not a young Han Solo, somebody who is before, you know, that timeline. It's never made any sense, so I am glad Kennedy just flat out denied it, because it's, to me, it's as obvious as the nose on Alec Baldwin's face.
Well, it's kind of a moot point now that we know Han Solo will not be appearing, but, you know, there was something about a young Jyn Erso being portrayed as a little girl in the beginning of this film, in the beginning of Rogue One. So they could have possibly made it work. Although now we just heard from Kathleen Kennedy, it's not happening. But I always kind of held out some hope for that. But
yeah, I don't know. If that was the case, you could do anything like that. But I think it's too much of a distraction. I mean, you throw a Han Solo in that moment, I don't know, and unless it really fit the story, he has a whole other story. If they decide to go with what we know as kind of his backstory.
Yeah. So all of the other anthology movies being character-focused, there's talk about, well, the next one is confirmed the Han Solo movies. There's rumors for the Boba Fett movie. There's rumors about the Obi-Wan movie, which is primarily driven by us, I think, but it's out there nonetheless. Is there a danger of Rogue One becoming a Darth Vader solo vehicle? Do you think Darth Vader is going to overpower the story of Rogue One?
First of all, Greg, I want to say that we have a lot of clout in this business, and we I don't think it's rumor anymore.
It goes without saying, sir. It goes without saying.
But from what I've heard about the whole thing with Vader, I think, you know, I'm going to have to fall in line on this one and say that they are keeping him back enough that he is not going to be the driving force of that film, that he will, like they said, make his appearance and make his presence at particular moments that lend themselves to those moments, that what is necessary. If it's more than what I'm anticipating from what they said, then great. Is it going to be distracting? Hell yeah, it's going to be distracting. It's Darth fucking Vader, man. Seriously. Yeah.
See, yeah. I kind of think he's going to be like an evil Nick Fury. In that,
wait,
he's the big boss. Everybody's going around doing their thing, and then suddenly he's the badass boss who shows up and just starts kicking butt and taking names. And he's the center of gravity even when he's not on screen, but he's not going to be overpowering. That's my thought.
Yeah, I want to jump in on this. This is a great thing to discuss. This is a great idea to discuss, because what essentially could happen with this Vader character, what we know about the A New Hope storyline, is that Vader loses the plans. Theoretically, it's Vader who lost the plans. Tarkin makes a point of saying something very close to that. Are you retrieving the lost plans? And it's his particular mission to get those back. So if that kind of falls into the timeline, we know that this theoretically could be the failed part of Vader's, like, you know, evil presence, his dominant presence. Like, he's out there kicking Jedi's asses. Now he's, like, leading up all these stormtroopers. He's the badass guy, but he has flaws, and this would be a great showcase for that. He could still be evil, but there could be this moment where somebody gets the upper hand on Vader, and it could be this group of rogue outcasts, you know?
I like the idea that, you know, Tarkin and Vader are like roommates on the Death Star, and Tarkin's like, did you find your lost keys?
Did somebody fetch my bunny slippers?
Did
you
remember
your key?
Did you get eggs from the commissary? Oh, and did you find the lost plans to the Death Star? You know, that's funny.
God. Maybe the guy that's
you make them sound like characters in My Fair Lady with that accent. What they're talking about?
That's my
Vader's just walking around. What is that foul stench going on around here? Jeez, Tarkin, have you showered today?
Tarkin still is trying to slip him the little asthma thing. Come on, man.
Actually, serious question. Does Vader have a sense of smell?
Will we discover the source of the foul stench on Governor Tarkin? That's what I want to know.
Leia was right about you. You do stink. My God, man.
Mix in a bath every now and then, please.
You think it's easy for me to stay clean inside this damn suit?
That reminds me so much, man, of the robot chicken Star Wars with Vader and the TIE Fighter. You've been flying around in that thing for like a week? Oh, God.
You smell like
old bacon and wrapped in burnt leather.
Oh, man, this show got off the rails quick. Quick.
We came out of the gate off the rails.
I just want to have the Vader and Tarkin, the high school years episode is what I want to have.
Oh, man.
It's great.
Can we get it with something with like a Saved by the Bell opening theme song or something?
Man, you guys are really challenging me to produce some of this stuff. I'm on this, man. This is gonna be funny. Too good. Did have one other Rogue One story to share really quick. StarWars.com released a new character on Facebook. So you need to follow StarWars.com on Facebook if you don't already. Because breaking news here, actually from San Diego Comic-Con, meet Rogue One's, and I'm going to butcher the name as always with these new character names, Idrio Two Tubes. Idrio Two Tubes is a mercenary pilot who flies alongside his eggmate, Benthic. The two share the nickname derived from the breathing apparatus that allows their Tognath physiology to produce oxygen atmospheres. And this picture on Facebook.com is really cool. It sort of has like a sort of like an X-wing pilot chest plate mixed in with some other pieces of armor. So thought it was a pretty cool looking character. And yeah, check it out at Facebook.com/Star Wars.
That's awesome. Yeah. And that's the character Bosk kind of came about by using a bastardized version of the X-wing pilot suit.
Yeah, and if anybody was lucky enough to go to Comic-Con this past, well, not this past weekend, the weekend prior to, it would have been 2 weeks ago. Yeah, this was the character that was in the booth at the Star Wars, at the Star Wars booth at Comic-Con in San Diego.
And the actual actor?
No, the costume.
Oh, the costume.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, they had the actor standing there for 4 days.
You know, it's good work if you can get it.
Lucky guy.
It's really tough, man.
Well, talking about celebrities at cons, thank you for that perfect lead in there, Dave.
Greg, we are in sync, brother, because that's exactly what I was going to do. Damn you.
There's, I didn't have any real new Episode 8 news. Of course, Episode 8 will be the story at the next celebration, which is going to be in Orlando, Florida next April.
Road trip.
Oh, man, I want to go so bad. Now that it's stateside again, got to figure out how to get there. But
airplane.
There you go. Falcon. But Rian Johnson did have a panel as part of the new filmmakers panel, and then he did an interview. And he talked a little bit about walking the floor and being in the audience at the last celebration, the one before Europe, in Anaheim.
Here in Anaheim, I went just to watch when The Force Awakens was having their whole rollout at Celebration, and I got to just walk around the floor and got to just sit in the crowd. And so I'm really happy I got to do that last year and just experience it from the crowd and just feel kind of the energy out there and like the positivity. And sitting up on stage, which is terrifying for me, and like the wrong side of the lights for me, I like being behind the lights. But last year, having been out there and known that just sitting in the audience is people who love this so much and are so into it and so rooting for it to be something really special, you know, it felt good. It felt really good.
Really cool that, you know, these young directors they're hiring to do these movies, Gareth Edwards and Rian Johnson, just both seem like just normal, well-adjusted dudes, you know? Just like they could come on our show and just talk it up and just, you know, drink a beer and hang out and just like regular guys. I'm really impressed with Rian Johnson and Gareth Edwards.
Well, have we put the feelers out for that? Can we get these guys on?
I'm on it.
Okay.
Sorry, Dave. I'm gonna jump in here just real quick. This guy really has a strong pedigree. He's a young filmmaker, so he doesn't have an extensive background, but he made Looper, which I think is a fantastic. Really underrated movie. I think it's a really good movie.
I agree with you, Greg.
Brick also is really good. He made another movie in between those called The Brothers Bloom, which I did not see, but I did hear good things about, so I'm going to have to check it out. But also directed a few episodes of Breaking Bad as well. Ozymandias being one of them, which I think is like one of the last episodes, and that whole last season of Breaking Bad is just the best television you'll ever see in your entire life. So... this guy's got it. This guy brings it hard. He's a stud. I'm so glad they got this guy locked up to do the movie. I think he's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dave, did you want to jump in with something?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, in terms of getting Rian on the show, I think they just wrapped principal photography on Episode 8, so he's got nothing but time. We should definitely be reaching out to his people.
Next week.
Yeah.
Well, you know who else has nothing but time? This guy. It's the very lonely Luke tweet of the week.
Red 5 standing by.
Because if there's something to whine about, you can count on Luke.
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
Even though he's now an old man.
No!
It just isn't fair.
You know, when you are the very lonely Luke, it never is fair, and it just doesn't get any fairer for you either. So this week, from just a couple days ago, July the 27th, we have Very Lonely Luke with people think that my dad got off easy. He still got to be a Force ghost, but he did come back in his younger, whinier form. That's Jedi hell.
Oh, I love Very Lonely Luke.
He's good. He's good. Absolutely.
He's good.
He's still bringing it strong. I'm very impressed with this guy, whoever Very Lonely Luke is, that he's bringing the funny every week. So good on him.
Did you read the one, one of my favorite ones I always think of with him is the example I give to people is something like, I wanted to help the rebellion, but I just had so much to do. Turns and stares at the ocean for another 20 hours. That's just too good.
He's good. He's good.
He's really good.
Everything all right there, Nico?
Yeah.
There are some moments that, you know, I wonder if I should... Is this where I need to close the show? Is this the moment?
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm not really sure. Yeah. Well, that one, boy, that one was loud and clear. It's time. Guys, this has been a fun show. Boy, I think we need to do more of these Sunday shows. I think we're on our game tonight.
We had a different energy tonight. I think so.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah?
Well, if you want to... reach out to us and tell us, talk to us about our energy that we did or didn't have. We would love to hear from you. You can email us, wretchedhive@yahoo.com. You can also leave us a voicemail. Our hotline is 562-455-4483. That's 562-455-HIVE. Leave us a voicemail, and I'd say probably 100% chance it's going to get played on the air. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/wretchedhivepodcast. You can tweet at us at wretchhivepod. And Podbean. We're getting a few new listeners on Podbean. Go to wretchedhive.podbean.com. And probably the best way to listen to the show is by finding us on iTunes. And... subscribing to the show, just search iTunes for The Wretched Hive and we will come up on your list of shows. So that does it. Episode 16 is in the books. Guys, any last thoughts?
Go for it. Hit me.
Just who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men.
I want the knife.
The shadow knows. I can't believe you pulled that knife as being the same knife that's in the Golden Child. Where do you get this stuff? My God.
I stole that from another podcast. How did this get made? Very funny podcast. Go listen to it every episode.
Awesome. Have a great week, guys. May the Force be with us all. We will see you in a couple of weeks. And thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
You do not want to see my meat helmet.